I'm going to turn Senator Goodman and I. We're going to present this together, and actually, present it. But we're jointly presenting our bills 750, our 586, and 617. And I'm going to turn the committee over to Senator Schmidt.
Okay, moving on to Senate Bill 586, Senator Bartle.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee. You no doubt know, in my 8 years in the Senate, I have spent some time working on this issue. And I will tell you, to date, I have not had a lot of success. Given the leadership in the House, I was unable to advance any anti-porn legislation at all because I wasn't able to pass any bills at all. And that was the result of a fracture that I had with the former leadership of the House over an anti-porn bill that we were able to get through the Senate in my second or third year in the Missouri Senate. I have passed two anti-porn bills, both of which have been struck down by the courts. And I know that my adversaries, who will soon come to testify against my bill, will tell you that this, too, contains provisions that will be struck down by the courts. I think you are all, I guess everybody here is a lawyer, or no, not everybody here is a lawyer. It's fortunate that we do have a non-lawyer on the committee to add some sanity. But you, all of you, are no doubt well aware that this is an area that is going to be given to litigation. It doesn't matter what we pass. No matter what we would pass, if we were to pass any kind of restriction on the porn industry, they will challenge in court. And they win a lot in court, alas. But should we keep on trying? I think the answer to that question is yes. And what I've presented to you and what Senator Goodman has presented to you is an accumulation of ideas that have been tested in other jurisdictions, and that we have some reasonable sense that we could withstand constitutional scrutiny on these reasonable restrictions, which are related directly to trying to mitigate the social cost visited on communities by the porn industry. Now, I will tell you that if I had my druthers, we would outlaw this industry altogether. But I realize that under our Constitution, we cannot do that. But the law, the Constitution, does allow us to restrict their activities in a sensible manner. And Senate Bill 586 is an attempt to do just that. And it is my hope that this committee will pass this and send it to the floor for debate. It is a smaller, tighter proposal than it has been in the past, but here's an overview of what we have. This would provide that after August 28th, the date, laws that the governor will sign from this session goes to effect, that no sexually oriented business will be established within 1,000 feet of a pre-existing school, a house of worship, a state-licensed daycare, public library, public park, residence, or other sexually oriented business. And these are all restrictions that attempt to protect people and property. If you have a church, you don't want a smut shop going in next door. And if you've been there, you've got, you've been there first, your property value will be adversely affected if a porn shop does go in next door. It also would provide that you can't have an interest in a porn shop, an ownership interest, an influential interest in a porn shop if you've committed a certain list of crimes that are sex-related. It also defines the behavior and the interactions between the patrons and the performers. And it says that a certain amount of distance needs to be afforded between patrons and and also performers. There are hours restrictions, and it would forbid the operation of a porn shop between the hours of midnight and 6 a.m. That's when most of the trouble happens, when most of the illegal activity takes place. And there have been time restrictions that have been upheld by courts on ordinances passed by in other jurisdictions. So I won't belabor it. You've read these bills, my proposals many times in the past, and so I will open myself to any questions you might have.
Any questions for the bill's sponsors? Seeing none. Thank you, Senator. Anyone wishing to speak in support of the legislation?
Mr. Chairman, I want to submit this, and I'll be more than happy to take Senator Justice's question. But I do have a CD, which I will provide the committee, and also a report of the Department of Revenue on the negative secondary effects of sexually oriented businesses. And that is, I'd like to enter it into the record and make it available to all the committee members.
Will it reflect in the record? Senator Justice.
I'm sorry, I didn't know if Senator Goodman was going to be presenting as well, so I just wanted to ask a quick question. How are the two bills different?
They're identical.
Right. All right, thank you.
Anyone wishing to speak in support?
Mr. Chairman, committee, for the record, my name is Kerry Messer. I'm a registered lobbyist with Missouri Family Network. I don't want to belabor anything, but I don't think I've ever shared with this committee a quick little story that I think points to one of the issues that we have with these businesses in Missouri. A lot of people think these are harmless industries without victims. I met James reluctantly after he sent me two letters from the Sex Offenders Unit in Missouri Penitentiary. And I didn't really want to go. But when I did, what I found was a broken man who begged me to share his story at appropriate times. This is a man who for 2 years, once a week, took his 10-year-old daughter, starting at 10 up to 12, from outstate Missouri to Mayo Clinic, and he fell into the habit of stopping at an adult bookstore in the Columbia area on his way up and back from Mayo Clinic. And then he spent several years in a penitentiary because of what he did to his daughter as a direct result of having left her on the parking lot of that adult establishment while he went in and out. He asked me over and over not to forget his story and not to let other people forget his story. For the family's sake, I don't say the name, but I would just caution you, don't take this bill lightly. This is not a victimless industry. There's a lot of people who are hurting because of the nature of this. There is these types of materials available in a lot of venues. What James had to say was that the environment of that bookstore, that industry is more than just books. The environment is what was so much worse than just the material, and the result of that being him sexually molesting his own daughter that he had invested so much care and love to. With that, I'll just be quiet.
Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to speak in support?
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, Joe Artworth with the Missouri Family Policy Council. Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the actions that Senator Bartle and Senator Goodman have taken in bringing this legislation forward once again. It has been very carefully crafted and is very wisely constructed in a fashion that it addresses the essential issue here of the adverse secondary effects of these sexually oriented businesses while not running afoul of First Amendment free speech guarantees. The senator indicated that he does not have a very good track record with regard to legislation along these lines and its ultimate survivability in court. Mr. Chairman, I would submit to you those fortunes are going to change if this legislation is adopted by the General Assembly. In St. Charles County, as county executive during my tenure, we adopted ordinances along these lines. It's important for the state to have these same kinds of community protections in place, and that's why it's important. But during the preparation of those ordinances and in intervening years, it's very clear from federal court cases, particularly most of these cases at the appellate level, that these types of provisions are going to be upheld by the courts. that they have withstood scrutiny before, and I would encourage this committee not to respond to tactics of intimidation by those who would try to dissuade you in another direction. They know that the courts will uphold this, and that's why they have to stop it here. I would encourage the committee to once again favorably pass this on to the Senate for full debate. And again, I commend both senators for their leadership on this issue. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Orworth? Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to speak in support?
My name is Rita Linhart, and I'm a registered lobbyist with the Missouri Catholic Conference, and we just want to go on record in support of both of these bills. The Missouri Catholic Conference opposes sexually oriented businesses because we believe that they debase the dignity of woman and undermine family values and promote illicit acts. And we agree with everything that's been said, that we think these are reasonable restrictions and allow the community to maintain a standard of decency for residents who may not approve of them. So we thank you and encourage your support.
Thank you. Any questions? Thanks. Anyone else wishing to speak in support?
Thank you for the opportunity. I'm Bev Valen with Concerned Women for America of Missouri. Just want to go on record as in support of these bills. Women seem to be the major victims of this these type of businesses, and civil government set up to protect its citizens and property. And so this bill would go a long way into protecting women and property values as well. So it's your civil duty to do as much as you can within legal limits, and I'm sure the two good senators have done everything they can to stay within those limits, so I support that.
Thank you. Any questions? Thanks. Anyone else wishing to speak in support? Anyone wishing to testify in opposition?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this is sort of like Groundhog Day for me. Just seem to keep coming back. I'm delighted that there are new members of the committee so I can tell my story again. My name is Nellie Simgrunder, and I own three sexually oriented businesses in the state of Missouri. First of all, one of the things that interests me is the use of secondary effects. Secondary effects, quite honestly, is a term that gets thrown around a lot. And in a 2009 study, it was found that there's really not any empirical good data that really proves that secondary effects occur. I happen to own a business in Columbia. In the last 3 months, we have had no calls to our store for any problems whatsoever. A convenience store close to us in a three-month period, the same three-month period I'm talking about for our store, had nearly 30 calls. When we talk about the economics of our business, Missouri, quite frankly, is at a point that it can't afford to lose any businesses. The adult industry brings a lot of money to Missouri, and we can't afford to lose that now. Our business, we are responsible. You hear about sexual predators and these kind of things. We're very careful in our store. We have never had any problems in the store. My husband and I act very responsibly towards our employees. Our employees have health benefits. They're paid above minimum wage. They get 2 weeks of vacation. No one in our store or around our store has ever been sexually assaulted or injured. So secondary effects, I think that it's a frivolous term, quite honestly. The other thing that interested me is the definition of an adult arcade. Quite honestly, in the state of Missouri, at any given time, there's more adult films being watched in a single hotel room than there is in all of the state of Missouri. I mean, if you look at a single hotel, there are more adult movies playing at one time than there are in all of the adult theaters in Missouri. Are we going to take the doors off of the hotel rooms? I have to wonder. There doesn't seem to be any provisions for stopping movies being shown in hotel rooms that have adult content. Behind closed doors, they're paying for it. We need to have even ground here. If we're going to remove doors from the arcades, then we should also remove them from the hotel rooms where you can watch adult movies. I would also like to just mention again, going back to the amount of money, $80 million in revenue from the adult industry, $4.5 million state and local taxes. Senator Kurt Schaefer is in my district, and he's already gone to the Columbia Chamber of Commerce, I mean, the Columbia Commission, and talked about the fact that things are not good. I think he's not going to be happy if he has to go back and tell that our city council that there will probably be 8 businesses going out of business if this bill is passed. It's not good for the economy. I think while I certainly admire Senator Bartle in many ways, we have been adversaries for a number of years, I think that he's barking up the wrong tree with this, and I would oppose it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions?
Just one question, ma'am.
Senator Goodman.
Sure.
Well, actually, can I ask questions? Sorry.
No. You are not recognized. Senator Justice.
I just had a quick question for you about regulation. I mean, the proposal that they have here is to impose regulation statewide. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit, just based on your knowledge of the industry, about regulations that are already in place on a local level. We heard from one of the witnesses earlier mm-hmm. that St. Charles County has imposed regulations. Mm-hmm. Are there any other local or, you know, county or cities that you can think of that have regulated the industry effectively?
Oh, yes.
Or out of business altogether?
Lee's Summit, I don't believe, has any adult businesses. They do. Most places that choose not to have adult businesses regulate them very well at the local level. My husband and I looked at opening an adult store in an adjoining county to our county. We went to the county commissioners, as we've done every time that we've thought about moving into a county. They said that they weren't interested in having the business there, and we said thank you very much and left. The local governments can handle this.
And to your knowledge, just based on working in the industry and talking to other business owners that are in other counties and cities, do some of the other folks that you work with operate businesses in communities that have regulations already?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, and I don't know if there's anyone else who's going to testify against this bill tonight, but I mean, I have personally seen the regulations in the city of Kansas City, for instance, and I mean, they're this big when you stack them up.
It works quite well. In Columbia, where we are, there's zoning issues and things like that, but the local government can handle it.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? Thank you. Anyone else wishing to testify in opposition?
Good evening again. John Kaufman, representing the ACLU. On this issue, our concerns are free speech related. I'm not saying that every thing in this bill is excessive regulation that has no compelling governmental interest, but we have a concern when you have a content-based set of regulations designed to inhibit a business to the point where they may not be able to make it, particularly when that business involves expressive conduct protected by the First Amendment. And that is, you know, videos, books, even dancing, activities that have free speech protection. We would urge that this body tread lightly and be very narrow in its control. I can also speak to local control regulations. I served on the Columbia City Council for a while, and we did impose zoning restrictions similar to what are in this bill, but did refused to go further in excessively regulating that, and the City of Columbia probably has different community standards than St. Charles or other communities. And so I think there is quite a bit of focus on these issues, and the local communities seem to be able to handle it within their own local control. But just would like to, in a general manner, urge some restraint, particularly when you're dealing with First Amendment issues and content-based ones.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to testify in opposition?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Lynn Schlosser. I'm a registered lobbyist for the Missouri Association of Club Executives. I'd like to go on the record in opposition to both bills.
Any questions? Thanks. Anyone else?
Any information?
Anyone else?
We don't do information on this committee.
Okay. We don't have testimony just for informational purposes.
Oh, no. I wonder why it's on the sheet. Well, good. I can testify in opposition.
Okay.
Not any problem. Mr. Chairman, my name is John Britton. I represent the Motion Picture Association of America. Go to I feel like Simon Bolivar just before he died. He was fighting tuberculosis, and he said, "Well, you fought the revolution of plow the sea." Every time I try to plow the sea in this bill, my plow sinks. But if you go to page 3, you will see that under the definition of characterized by, you will say that you'll notice that they use the rating system of the Motion Picture Association of America. Court after court has ruled that that is strictly voluntary and advisory and does not have any force of law and should not be used as a should not be given the force of law. That is just, I have many cases here to that effect. We just had one in Chicago where the Chicago Transit Authority tried to use the rating system of the entertainment software industry to control their advertising. Federal courts threw it out. Now, we have no problem with this bill. We don't care what you do with it. But we will oppose the using of the Motion Picture Association of America rating system to determine what can be shown in a, what do they call it, an adult in an adult business. You know, if they want to stop obscene, obscenity, harmful to minors, that's fine. But to use the rating system is something that we just can't do. Just cannot do it. And with that, I'll take my plow again.
Thank you. Any questions? I have one on your testimony.
Just one?
I think. When a lawyer says just one question, though, you're usually in trouble.
Probably one more than I can handle.
So your objection with the movie rating system, it looks like this section essentially says that no business shall be classified as a sexually oriented business for renting NC-17 or R. That is,
it says it's characterized by it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All the only problem we have with the other issues are up to this General Assembly and their proponents and opponents. But we do strenuously object, and we have a good, the use of the rating system, which I said is only advisory and voluntary as an element of the statute.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to speak or testify in opposition? Hearing none. That will close the hearing on the two Senate bills.